Alright. So we're gonna start. We're still on guardrails. We're just gonna get a recap of what we've already discussed. But first, you have to have your journals with you. We will be journaling in between and at the end, especially at the end. If you don't have your journals with you, get something to write on. Don't use your palms, okay? You have to have it. All right. Guardrails. I've entitled this talk, Better Questions. You'll find out later. And since they've been calling it the talk, I've also put it there. So, yeah, deal with it. So, yeah. We are discussing love guardrails tonight, and I hope that after this night, you have made some decisions or answered two of the questions that I'm going to give you tonight. All right? Okay, what are guardrails? We have discussed that guardrails is a system designed to keep vehicles from straying into dangerous or off-limit areas. There you go. Okay, it's also placed always on the safety zone. So if you look at the picture there, the green is the safety zone and red is the danger zone. Guardrails are placed on the safety zone. You're gonna say, why don't they maximize the road? That's the purpose of the guardrail. It's to stop you while you're still on the safety area, not on the edge of the cliff. So, yeah. We also know, or we learned with Steve, that guardrails are designed to minimize damage and direct and protect you. Okay? So, usually when a car, just like the day in Highway 17, does anyone drive there?
Yeah, which way?
Yeah. Well, some of you drive, okay? Come on. Just, okay. I was there for an hour today because a car just, what do you call it? Flipped over. That's what the guardrail is supposed to do. It's supposed to tip you back to the road. Okay, you will be damaged, but not as damaged compared to when you fall over the cliff or go to the other side of the road. That's the purpose of the guardrail, to minimize the damage. And we are learning every week before the snow, that the highway is not the only place that we need guardrails. We need guardrails on your life and in my life. Because the world is contented with painted lines. Advices, like you can just I wasn't driving in the Philippines before, but I imagine that if I drive there, I would be terrified to go anywhere, because as I've seen before, people don't respect the painted lines. They just overtake and just do what they want to do. You know, that's the design of the world. That's what they want, just painted lines, not guardrails. They will laugh at you if you have guardrails. Oh, you're such a prude. Did you know that word was a compliment before? Yeah, it means an honorable woman or person. It means you have high priorities, high values, and you seek to be proper as much as you can. Now it's like, I don't know, they use it as a negative term. Anyway, so guardrails are a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. This guardrails that we were discussing is supposed to light up. It's supposed to buzz when something is supposed to not be like that. Okay? So we're just recapping. This is not our topic yet. It's 8 pages. I'm going to keep reminding you that. All right. These are supposed to light up or trigger our consciences before we begin to hurt ourselves or the people around us, especially the ones closest to us. Okay? So those are guardrails. Tonight, can you share in your group, if you have someone, when I say relationship goals, this couple comes to mind. It could be someone you know. It could be someone who's famous or something. Or if, you know, if you're going to be in a relationship someday, this is who you want to be like. Go. Boys, you want to divide your group into two? All right, time's up. Time's up. Okay. I hope you shared or at least have thought of a couple in mind. Keep that thought or just remember what they said, okay? You're not gonna hold them accountable for it or something, but just keep that thought, okay? So, our premise for tonight, here is where we're gonna dwell. The next one. Here. What you do right now sets you up for either success or failure later. That's why we need guardrails. What you do right now, at your age, a little on my age, sets you up for either success or failure in the future. What you do right now, I'm repeating myself, I am doing that on purpose, will set you up for either success or failure in the future. What I want to do tonight is give you three questions. I will expound or I will explain the first one like crazy and just ask the other two at the end, wherein you're going to answer it on your journals. The first question is going to be rhetorical. It's going to be something that you will use every day. And the last two questions is something that you have to answer now. And those questions are crucial and it'll set you up for either success or failure in the future, depending on how you answer it. All right. So, these questions. These are guardrails for love, dating, courtship, and sex. Yes, sex. Well, you can apply it to everywhere in life, okay? So, but those are the things that we're going to focus on tonight because Steve and Michael are forcing me to. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I was given this topic, I don't know, by Providence. All right. Well, as I said, you can apply it to other topics or areas of your life as much as you like. All right, here goes. Next question to you is, what's your favorite part of camp? I need at least two volunteers to answer that. What's your favorite?
Sleeping outside.
You sleep outside?
When I camp, I sleep outside.
No, I mean youth camp, sorry.
Oh.
Sorry,
outside
I didn't.
In the dark.
Okay.
Meeting new people.
Okay, I'll get one more. All right, love that too. My favorite part of camp, I hope you're excited for camp. If you're coming, it will be really great. My favorite part of camp back home is the Q&A. You have a Q&A here? No? Oh, awesome. So, the Q&A, the pastors and leaders go in front, and they're like a panel, and then all the youth will be given pieces of paper where they can write their questions anonymously. It's awesome. So, the questions range from the most trivial, like, is Caitlin single? Can I be her date on the banquet night? Like, something like that. Or it can be... Yeah. Or it can be the most complex, like, what is our stand? Do we believe on kenosis or hypostatic union? Exactly. So, those are the ranges of questions. They go from there to anywhere. That's why I love it. Like, it's so funny and stuff. But a lot of questions fall on this kind of category. Is blank a sin? You can fill it out in your mind. You can fill the blank, whatever you put there. And you actually have something on your mind that you're wondering, is this a sin? Okay, since we're on that topic, think about these questions and how would you answer them? If someone outside of your group or a friend, a classmate asks you this, how would you answer it? Why is lying a sin? What is the big deal about gossiping? Why is it bad? When is the right age to engage in romantic relationships? Is it bad to sleep with my boyfriend or girlfriend even if we both want it? How would you answer those? Okay, I'll leave that again. We'll come back to it later, don't worry. Okay, so think about those things. How would you answer those? Those are actual real-life questions that you will have to deal with as you go on, or probably you've already dealt with or dealing with those questions right now. So, an answer is crucial. So, we'll start with the first one. Let me tell you first a story. When Jesus was here on earth, there are people who are always targeting him, trapping him, and trying to ask questions that will lead him to say wrong things. Okay? So mostly those are religious leaders and their guys. They have a guy for always everything. Like, I have a guy in law. I have a guy for fetching stuff. So these religious leaders had a guy to ask Jesus a question about the law. So they asked, you probably have read this. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? If you're going to be asked that question, what would you say? You will say, yes. You'll say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That is the usual answer even for a Jew. They all know it. I think he has a follow-up question, but he never got to answer it, or he never got to ask that question because Jesus followed up with another answer, and the second is like it. Wait. I asked for the greatest commandment, and you're giving me two? Not yet. Not that yet. Okay. So, Jesus told him, love your neighbor as yourself. So he was trying to get away that whatever I do it for my devotion with God. Whatever I do, it is between me and God. Jesus says, no. What you do or your relationship with God can be measured by your relationship with everyone else. That's his point when he said that. And that's the direction we're going in right now. So, John, one of Jesus' closest friends, if you're reading the Gospel of John, John thinks he is Jesus' best friend. Okay, so let's give him the benefit of the doubt because we didn't live with Jesus, okay? So he was the one who lived with Jesus for 3 years. So Jesus' best friend, John, told us a story of one of the most intimate and memorable night that they had with Jesus. This is it. That's it. So, during that night, after Jesus washed their feet and told them a lot of stuff that he's going to do, and he said, "Judas, do what you're going to do." Judas left. And then after Judas stepped out of the room to do an errand or something, Jesus told them, "All right, guys, focus. I'm going to give you a new commandment. If you're giving something new," he's saying, "forget everything else. This is the new one. Leave the old behind. This is my new." I was I had a new phone the other month, and I don't use my old phone anymore. My phone is the other one is still fairly new, but it suddenly became old, and I don't use it anymore the moment I got my new phone. Why is that? Because I have my new phone. Duh. So, this was Jesus saying, don't use the old anymore. This is the new. Focus on this. This is our new standard, and this is where we will be known. Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Begin.
A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another.
Okay. It doesn't have much impact, right? It doesn't have much impact on us because we've read it 1,000 times, we've heard it 1,000 times, we've seen it 1,000,000 times, or we've heard it preached before, like so many times. But think, if you are one of the disciples and Jesus was looking at you face to face, you're Matthew. No one has talked to you before, nor given you value, because everyone hated you. You were a tax collector. You were an enemy of your people. And when he looked at Nathanael, you know Nathanael, one of the disciples, he would look at Nathanael and say, "Nathanael, remember when we met? You dissed my whole town, saying no one good comes out of Nazareth. You did that to me, yet I still loved you." And all the other disciples, they had a sketchy background, and Jesus still loved them. Wait. He still haven't died on the cross yet. So, he should have told them, "Guys, if you think what I did to you was great, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think what I did to you was great, you ain't seen nothing yet." Hours from that point, Jesus will be hanging on the cross for their sake, for your sake, for my sake. So that verse had an extreme impact on those 11 disciples that are there. All right, let's break it down. Okay, so the point of Jesus is that he didn't command them to feel something. He commanded them to do something. Okay? So Jesus didn't say, "Okay, stay here and just love one another. Oh, we love one another. Love you guys. Love you all." No. He didn't say to feel something. He said, do something. And he showed that a few hours later. He died on the cross for their sins, for your sins, for my sins. Because This is crucial. If love is just a feeling and not an act, it will have a lot of consequences in our lives. If you view love as something you just feel, you will always chase after a feeling and not a person. Don't you hear this every time? Whenever you watch shows, movies, or TV series, I don't feel it anymore. I'm not happy anymore. Let's break up. Let's go our separate ways. I don't feel it anymore. You always chase after a feeling and not a person. Because you think love is a feeling. Love is an act. Love is something you do. And partners will be disposable because you're not chasing after a person, but after a feeling. Maybe if I change a boyfriend, my boyfriend, or change my girlfriend, maybe I will feel it. You see the point where I'm getting at? Because if you think love is something you feel and not something you do, you will chase after an empty well. You will chase after a bucket full of holes. You will never be satisfied. That's why... Click. Yeah, so partners will be disposable. Boys, if you chase after a feeling you won't ever let go of pornography. You will always chase after that feeling, even though there's no person behind it. Girls, I don't know if it's general or just most of the girls, or some of the girls, but you will be hooked on romantic fantasies. Oh, my guy should be like this. Oh, he should be like that. Yeah, it's also a negative thing. And when you get married, whenever an argument arises, divorce will always be an option. Why? Because love is a feeling. If you view love as a feeling, you will always have an option to just break it off. I don't like it anymore. I am not happy. I don't feel the love anymore. All right? So, this will ultimately lead you to believe. Oh, we're not at the question yet. Awesome. All right, this will lead you to believe that here's a myth. All right, listen to me. Listen. This will lead you to believe that sex is just physical. The truth is, it's not. It's a sensitive topic. People treat sex like it's just something that you do physically. But it's not. And if we continue thinking that way, we will hurt ourselves, the people around us, in a deep, unimaginable way. Alright. I'm amazed when I see how Paul describes sexual sins. Like if you're chasing after that feeling. Remember, focusing on the feeling and focusing on the person are two other things. If you view focusing on the feeling as love, then it will lead you to a lot of stuff. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Look at this. This is crazy. When I saw this, it's like he said, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin is a person commits is outside of the body. The sexual immoral person sins against his own body." What are you saying, Abby? Paul categorizes every other sin. Here, whatever sin you can think of, it's here, and it's cluster. Sexual sin has its own bracket. Okay, Paul, how about lying and cheating and stuff and stuff and stuff? Okay, it belongs there. Even murder, yes, it belongs there. But sexual sin has its own cluster, has its own category. Why? Because it hurts you deepest. It will hurt you the most. Paul is saying, don't take this lightly. Sorry, I'm getting too... All right, I have to calm down. Yeah, it carries with you throughout your life. I've had it, because this is so personal to me. I've had a lot of friends that I grew up in youth together. Like, we've spent years serving in youth, going in youth camps. But not just a few, but a majority always falls in this category of sin. There's this lot of category of sin, but this is the one everyone almost fails. That's why Paul is emphasizing, it's not something that you treat lightly. This damages you, and it could take a while, it could take a lot of therapies, it could even take a lifetime to repair. That's why, listen to me, that's why we're giving you the opportunity to skip that. We're giving you the opportunity to not go through that regret. A lot of my friends, when I talk about ministry, always has that regret that I should have never done that. I should have never went that road. I should have never taken that path. And all we could just talk about are the fun times that we had when we were serving together, when we had a band together, when we had camp and all the things that we did together. But yeah, we're saving you a lot of regrets in the future. Again, what you do now sets you up for either success or failure in the future. All right, we're getting to the question now. Sorry. All right, setting up guardrails forces you to make the decision ahead of time. You can make the decision right now not to fail. You can make the decision right now to have a path that won't lead to regret. You can make the decision right now to have a future that you can share to everyone. To have a future or a story that you can tell to your kids and not lie or not hide anything. All right. So guardrails are there to force you to make a decision before you encounter the temptation. And I'll skip with this anyway. Let's go back to the questions I asked earlier. How would you answer those? I tried to ask that to my wife, like out of nowhere, to see what she will answer. I won't tell you what she said, but how would you answer that? If your answer starts with, because the Bible said, that wouldn't work if your boyfriend or girlfriend is an unbeliever. That wouldn't work if your friend doesn't hold the Bible as an authority. That wouldn't work in an environment that doesn't recognize God. So how would you answer those questions? All right, let's go with the first question. The first question. What would love have you do? Remember what Jesus said? He has only one command. If you are a follower of Jesus, he has only that command summing up everything that he commanded. What is it? To love one another. Again, what is it? Love one another. There you go. Now, you have to ask yourself all the time, what would love have you do? It's a simple command, yet very demanding. It's a simple command that you can remember, but it will require a lot of you, a lot from you. It will require everything from you, if you take it seriously. It focuses on the person that is not you. It focuses on the person beside you, in front of you, people around you. Now, I will not tell you that I know that most of you had the talk already with your parents. Who's had it? Any raise of hands? Okay, good. All right. I think it goes something like this. This is for your own future. You have to do this because you have to save yourself for the person you marry. Okay, we know that already, okay? What Jesus is saying, that this command is not for you. It's not even for him. He's fine. God's fine. Don't worry. It's not even for him. His command is for the person beside you, the person closest to you, the person who you hold dearest. It's for them. This command doesn't have loopholes. It will answer all your questions regarding, is blank a sin? Is this bad? Is this, can I do this? You know, we always tend to snuggle up closest to sin. Am I the only one like that? Like, I have to know my boundaries so I can step closer to it without doing bad things. I'm so good. Yeah, at least I am, if you don't want to admit it. Okay, I'm like that. So, I'll give you three. There's probably a lot, but I'll give you three reasons that you can always give to answer anything. Okay, let's focus on the first question that I gave. Why is lying a sin? Why is lying a sin? This is the answer that we always give. First, it dishonors others. Right? Second, it devalues the person that you're talking to. You're saying that you're not worth the truth. That's what you're saying if you're lying. Third, it breaks the relationship. If you lie to me, I won't trust you again. Or probably I will be having a hard time trusting you again. Same as the people around you. If you lie to your parents or your friends, it breaks the relationship. It damages the relationship. So, three reasons. And I didn't give any verse yet. Okay? So, that's what love required, or that's what love would lead you to do. Let's discuss those three. There it is. So first, why is lying a sin? First, honor. Honor. God honored the person that you're lying to by sending his son to save us, or sending his son to save him or her from his or her dishonoring sin. God honored that person so much that he sent his son to die for his sins. Who am I to dishonor the person that God honored? Value. Jesus' death on the cross is a declaration of the value of that person. Who am I to say his or she's worthless by lying to him or her. Broken relationships. Or, yeah, fracturing relationships. Jesus came to earth to mend the relationship between him and that person to everyone else. Who am I to damage that relationship? So again, if you're asking, is this a sin? Is that what love would lead you to do? Because love always pushes in the direction of honoring others, valuing their worth, and treasuring the relationship. If it will break the relationship, then don't do it. It's not what love requires of you. This is the general why. This is the general answer to the question why. Why would I not do this? Why would I do this? Why would I? Because it's what love would have you do. Why should I go to church? Why should I share the gospel? Everything. Why should I wake up in the morning or early in the morning? Why shouldn't I wake up like 11 a.m.? Because it dishonors your parents. You see, it's the ultimate answer. And Jesus came up with that. That's amazing. Jesus came up with one answer to everything. What would love have you do? And I will challenge you to use that all the time. If you're faced with a situation, if you're faced with a question that you're not sure with, or a situation that you are leaning into just going along, ask yourself, what would love have me do? Our ethics should always go back or tie back to the gospel. Did you notice the three reasons or three directions where love pushes us? Did you notice that those three always go back to the gospel? That Jesus came, Jesus sacrificed, and Jesus mended the relationship. And it always goes back to the gospel. We don't need any other specific verses. And I don't need a specific verse that tells me directly in the Bible that premarital sex is wrong, because it dishonors the person and it devalues their worth and it diminishes God's plan for that person in the future. When I was doing this, I was asking how to approach this. In the Philippines, there's no divorce, but there's what we call legal separation. Me myself is a product of a broken family. It's not a fun thing. You know, you don't have someone to look up to, but God has blessed me with my pastor as the father figure to me, so he's good. So why do people like break up in the middle of life? What are they looking for? Is love not enough? If you treat love as a feeling, you will pursue a feeling and not the person. We sometimes don't know, or actually, if you ask a lot of adults, most of them don't know that what we're looking for is not the feeling, but what we're looking for is intimacy. Based on experience and based in a lot of observations on the couples around me. Romantic relationships are fueled by intimacy. Intimacy is just, it's just being exclusive. Intimacy is saying, I only have an eye for you. I've only done this with you. I only have love for you. That's exclusivity. That's intimacy. My wife is not concerned whenever I go out, not because she doesn't care, but because we are intimate. She knows me, and she knows my history. My history. We were friends for 10 years, and she knows my background and everything I am. And she knows that when we got married, it's just a continuation of my history when I was single. So when I go, she doesn't expect like she doesn't what do you call it in English? No. What do you call hinala? Assume or suspect. There you go. She doesn't suspect that I'm cheating or anything. Why? Because I'm so good. No. No. It's because I made it clear that we are exclusive. That I am only for him. Or, sorry, her. Aha. And she is only for me. That's exclusive. If. Okay. Would you be comfortable knowing that your partner, the person that you will be marrying, like slept around or has a background of sleeping with other people or had thousands of relationships or maybe just tens of relationships or something. Would you be comfortable with that? Or if you had that, would you be comfortable to share it? Or let me give you an actual example. If one day you had relationships that are supposed to be for married couples only, like you had sex with someone, and then a year after that, you met the one, like seriously the one, like the person you're going to marry, the person you wanna wake up every day with. That's what I said to my wife. Okay, nice. Let me give you a side story. When I proposed to her, I didn't ask her to be my girlfriend. I didn't ask her for a date. I told her I'm looking for a wife. Wow. No, I told her I want her to be my wife. But not like right now, like this year or something. You know, that's what I have in mind. Like, if I'm going to be in a relationship with someone, that someone is going to be my wife. So, anyway. So, if you, like, had sexual relations with someone, and then a year after, or a month, or several months after you met the one, like, you're really sure that person is someone that I really want to grow old with, wake up every day, and she's the one, or he's the one that I'm gonna see with drool on his face every morning. Would you be tempted to lie about the sexual relationship to that person? Would you be tempted to lie about your past to that person who you wanna spend the rest of your days with? Is a yes, is a no. would you be tempted to lie about your past to that person who you want to spend the rest of your life with? Question. Would you want to do that? Would you want to live a lifetime of lying? Would you want to live a lifetime of not being open to the person who you are going to spend your whole life with? Me and my wife she's more like that than me. We can't keep a secret. Like, can't. Oh, by the way, we're having another baby, so.
Oh, it's a guy or a girl.
I don't know yet. See? There you go. I told you I can't keep a secret. So
that's recorded.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome, Steve.
Okay. Keep it a secret for now. Alright. So it's kinda more on her because she can't even keep a surprise. If she has a surprise for me, she can't do it. She cannot surprise me because she's gonna say, "I got a surprise for you." And I'm just gonna ask, "What is it?" And then she'll say it. You know, it's so great to be honest to the person that you'll grow up with or grow old with. To tell everything. It's the best thing you can experience. And I'll skip on most of this. But you know, asking the question, "What would love have you do?" puts you in a position to always do what's best for them, not just in a love relationship, but to everyone else beside you. Puts you in a situation that even if you don't even if they don't embrace what's best for them, that's what you have in mind. But how would we know what's best for them? Well, aside from something that honors them, something that gives them value, something that treasures the relationship. Paul said that the Spirit of God will always push you in this situation. If you still have questions, the next verse. The Spirit of God will always push you in this direction. It will always lead you to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and the rest. Okay? What would love have you do? If you're in a situation that you're not sure what to do, ask, "What would love have you do?" If you're in a temptation, don't ask, flee. Run, like literally. I remember. Can I cover this? when I was in, that was like literal for me. When I was in grade 8, I think. Yeah, grade 8. A girl kissed me and I ran. That was so crazy. No, it was terrifying for me. I'm so naive and I'm so innocent. No, literally. Yeah. I didn't know what girlfriend and boyfriend were doing back then. I was asking my friends. Like, I was so, I don't know. Like, literally, I ran. So, don't be in those situations. You know, you can choose right now. What would love have you do? That's the first question that we are putting up as our guardrail. The next question is, this is what you will put on your journals. Remember the relationship goals that I asked you earlier? Now, next question. How about you? What story do you want to tell? Kindly put on your journal what kind of, or actually, what story do you want to tell to your children, to the people you're going to be friends with when you're old? Decide now not to lie. So when you have that story in your journal, every decision will be focused on doing that story, on fulfilling that story that you have. What story do you want to tell? Journal. Go. As you're answering that, I will give you the last question. The Apostle Paul said that do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body, or in your body. The next, or the last question that you have to answer now, for, so you don't have to answer it at the end of your life and regret that you didn't decide early on. Decide now. In light of your current situation, I don't know if you've already explored sexually or not. I don't need to know that, but you and the Lord can discuss that. In light of your current situations, how would you want to glorify or honor God with your body? This is something that you can't go through alone. As Paul said, sexual sins are on a category all of its own. It's really, really something that ties you down, puts you to the ground, and stomps on you. It will hurt you the deepest. You can't go through it alone. You have your leaders, you have your friends here. Talk to your leaders, talk to someone who you know is deeper in the Lord and close to God. As we close, we're going to sing or we're going to listen to a song that we've sang 1,000 times. And one of the lyrics says, or part of the lyric says, I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that He loves us. This is not a story about, this is not a talk about sex. This is a talk about how God deeply loved us. To talk about it. God cares that much about you, about me. And most of the times, I myself get overwhelmed by how much God loves me. He'd spoken to us about how to love, how he loves. And you know, every regret, every decision can be given to him. So as you answer those questions, just meditate on the song, on what God is saying to you right now.